Okay, thank you for the introduction. And first of all, I want to, my topic for today is to synthesize a highly reactive sub-nano sized zero valent iron synthesized on the smectite clay using clay as a template. So this is another direction from the other people's talk today. So first of all, I want to introduce some of my co-authors, the Han Zhongjia, Hui Li, Brian Tappan, and Stephen Boyd. So we're from Department of Crop Soil Science from Michigan State University. For the zero valent iron has been used for environmental remediation for last 30 years. Initially, zero valent iron is used as a permeable iron barrier to degrade organic contaminant, mainly for the chlorinated organic solvent. When the plume of the pollutant passes through the reactive barrier, so this the iron zero in the barrier will reduce the organic contaminant to be the non-toxic compound. In this most time it's like the TCE or some like other tetrachlorobenzene, some organic solvent. But the cost for the construction of permeable iron barrier is very expensive. So last 10 years, about 10 years, nanoscale zero valent iron is gained considerable attention because smaller particle size and also has a much higher surface area and reactivity. The general method to synthesize nanoscale zero valent iron is by the reducing the iron 2 or iron 3 iron by the sodium borohydrate to form iron zero. The size of the nanoscale zero valent iron is in the range of 10 to 100 nanometers. And also they have a core and a shell structures. In the core is primarily of metallic iron or zero valent iron. On the outside shell is a mixture of iron oxide. It's for the iron 2 or iron 3 oxide. So one of the problems associated with nanoscale zero valent iron is because during the synthesis process, the zero valent iron is very easy to agglomerate like this to form the big particle size, and also this can reduce the surface area and also the reactivity. For our research, we use montmorillonite clay, is one of the smectite clay, as a template to synthesize the zero valent iron. For those people who are not very familiar with the structure of the clay, I just want to give you some brief introduction about what clay structure is. So the clay is 2-to-1. In this case, it's smectite clay. So it's 2-to-1 layered. So in other words, it's the center layer is octahedral layer, and also they have like the octahedral is sandwiched by two tetrahedral layers. This is aluminum oxide layer, and this is silica oxide layers. Because isomorphic substitution in either the tetrahedral or octahedral layer, so clay can develop a negative charge, a structural negative charge. This charge are compensated by the exchangeable cations in the interlayers. In this case, is iron 3. So this iron 3 is located at or near the sites of the surface negative charge site. So our hypothesis is that when we reduce the iron 2 or iron 3, we can, this irons are isolated from each other. So our hypothesis is that when we reduce iron 3 by the borohydrate salt, we can get atomic size zero valent iron on the clay surface. So this is a picture showing that how we synthesize the clay template zero valent iron. So first of all, we want to saturate the Mount Moronite clay with iron 3 by using the iron chloride salt exchange with the clay. So after the saturate the clay with iron 3, we use several steps to just remove all the excessive iron. And after that, we use sodium borohydrate to reduce the iron. You can see the color change just immediately, a few seconds. They change to black. So that indicates iron 3 is reduced to iron 0 in the system. So this is X-ray fraction pattern showing that the first is iron SWY2 clay, the air-dried clay. The de-spacing is about 13.4 angstrom. So after, we also use the sodium SWY2 as the reference. So after the clay was reduced by the sodium borohydrate at a relatively low sodium borohydrate over iron 3 ratio, this is 5 and 10. So the de-spacing is reduced to about 12.6 angstrom. So that's because when the clay is reduced to the iron 0, when iron 3 is reduced to iron 0, so the charge in the clay interlayer will be compensated by sodium. So that's causing some collapse of the interlayer. Also, you can see the peak is becoming broader and also becoming the intensity also become lower. So that's why it's caused by the replacement of iron by the sodium. So this is a comparison. For the sodium SWY2 interlayer is about 11 angstrom. So however, when we increase the sodium borohydrate over iron ratio, we increase to 20 and 30, we can see the de-spacing is increasing to about 14.5 angstrom. So that's indicated the intercalation of iron clusters into the interlayer. So if we assume that the thickness of the Mount Moronite clay, the clay sheet is about 9.6 angstrom. So it's about 5 angstrom the iron is inside the interlayer. And also they have a little shoulder at about 12.3 angstrom, and this is 12.9 angstrom. So that's also causing by the replacing of the iron by the sodium. So it's the same as these two. So that's causing some collapse in some region. So the X-ray photoelectron spectra also showing that after the clay is reduced by sodium borohydrate, you can see this is two distinguishable the peaks. The peak is much broader than the iron SWY2 peaks. So this is contributed to an overlap of the oxide, iron oxide, and also the iron zero. So these two peaks at one is at 725 and 712. This is a tribute to the iron oxide peaks, and also the other two is 722 and 708 is a tribute to the iron zero. So this is also consistent with the literature. The reason why this peak is not very big because the percentage of the iron on the clay is very low. It's in the also it's about like 2.5%. That's why the signal intensity is not very high. But you can still clearly see this is the two peaks corresponding to the iron zero. So this supports experiment that iron zero is synthesized on the clay surface. So in our experiment, we use nitrobenzene as a model compound to characterize the synthesized zero valent iron. Because nitrobenzene is a well-studied compound, and also we did some preliminary experiment showing that the nitrobenzene and also the final product aniline both it have very low sorption onto the clay for both the iron smeg type, iron SWY2 and also sodium SWY2 clay is very low sorption. So this would be ideal model compound to study this system. So the transformation of nitrobenzene by the sodium zero valent iron follow this pathway. First, nitrobenzene is reduced to nitrosobenzene, and then the phenyl hydroxyamine, and finally the product is aniline. So this shows the kinetic experiment showing that the reaction is very fast. In about 1 minute, the first sample point, we get like about more than 80% of nitrobenzene is reduced. So we can see the intermediate is phenyl hydroxyamine. This concentration increased dramatically after the reaction start. But as the reaction proceed, the phenyl hydroxyamine concentration decrease. And also the aniline concentration keep increasing as a major reaction product. And after about 3 hours, the reaction, about 94% of the nitrobenzene is converted to the aniline and also have some nitrosobenzene low concentration. So the reduction efficiency, we started that the reduction efficiency is defined as the ratio of iron participate to reduce nitrobenzene to aniline. If we assume all the iron 3 in the interlayer was reduced to the iron 0, so that's the definition of reduction efficiency. As you can see, when we increase sodium borohydrate over iron 3 molar ratio, so the reduction efficiency, they can get higher and higher until they reach about the plateau, about 83%. So explained by the at the lower the sodium borohydrate over iron ratio, only the partial of the iron in the interlayer can be reduced. But when we increase sodium borohydrate amount, we can get almost most of the iron can be reduced to iron 0. But we use a little bit higher than the more sodium borohydrate than the literature because the clay interlayer can be as a barrier to prevent the reaction between the sodium borohydrate and the iron 3. So that's probably the reason why we use a little bit more the sodium borohydrate amount. And for comparison of the what we synthesized in the in our experiment using clay as a template, and also compare with some other literatures which use microscale zero valent iron, its granule, the zero valent iron, also the some nano size zero valent iron. We also compare with the structural iron too, also can reduce nitrobenzene. So we compare them because for our system we get about less than 5 angstrom the particle size. It's much smaller than the even for the conventional nano zero valent iron is about 1 to 2 magnitude smaller. And also our iron concentration is it's much smaller than the previous use. This is over 10 times less iron we use. And also our initial concentration, the nitrobenzene concentration is much, much higher than what they used in their experiment. So and also very, very fast, about 1 minute, the reaction. So the conclusion is, The first is nanoscale zero valent iron is synthesized on clay surface. Both X-ray photoelectric spectroscopy and X-ray diffraction confirm the formation of zero valent iron. The templated sub-nanosized zero valent iron showed superior reactivity and efficiency compared to other previous reported form of zero valent iron. And the SMECTI template zero iron can offer a potential for in situ and ex situ remediation of many consistent contaminants on the surface or the subsurface environment. Thank you. I'm open for questions.
Any questions?
How confident are you that the iron substrates you created are just confined to the internal layers? Because it takes so long for nitrobenzene to get to the inner layer, and you're seeing reduction within an hour, right?
Yeah, no, without in minutes.
Minutes, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, either you have other reduced iron sitting on external surfaces that have quick access, nitrobenzene has quick access to, or you're shaking out zero iron, or the reaction occurs much faster than what I would expect given the time it takes for nitrobenzene to get into the inner layer, especially an inner layer that small.
Okay, that's a good question. Actually, the reason what we conclude this interlayer, because we did some other experiment. We use perovskite, for example. This is a no interlayer the clay, perovskite. So they only have the surface. So that's but the reaction is much the reactivity is much lower, and also we can have like much lower efficiency too. So that's why we confirm this is interlayer. It's more predominant mechanism.
What sort of water content do you have in these smectite systems that you're dealing with here?
Can I say?
What water content do you have in the smectite system?
Oh, this is an aqueous solution. So.
Okay, so why do you assume that the smectite is sitting together, not dispersed? In the
aqueous phase.
Because you're replacing. Iron in the interlayer with a sodium and converting it into a readily swelling smectite from effectively a non-swelling smectite with iron in the interlayer. So if it's an aqueous system, you're putting sodium in there, you're almost eliminating the interlayer by having the plates hugely spaced apart, no longer tightly together.
Okay, yeah, that's also a good question because, yeah, I think it's right because after you exchange with sodium, they may become like the layer is not well stacked. Yeah, that's also maybe it's another reason that's why they have more surface area too,
so
to react.
It's no longer an interlayer, probably. It's free iron in solution. Or plus
the
iron in solution as nanoparticles.
But I think the structure of the clay after reduced, it's not because from the XRD spectrum, it looks like not completely collapsed.
Yes, but when you do the XRD spectrum, you evaporate a lot of water away, right?
Yes.
I suspect that what's happening here is your iron is separating out, no longer associated with the mineral surface, and you've created a reduced iron in very small particle form, which would be very reactive.
Yeah, but that's probably true. But maybe not all of them. It may be partial of them. Maybe it's becoming like that. Okay. Because we did like XRD and the TEM too to compare with the just synthesized in the solution. It's a little bit different too.
But if it's dispersed, you can get very quick reaction times with your material being broken down. If it isn't dispersed, you're not wounded.
But as long as it is can be the on the part, they can just hold it apart for the iron. They can be have like a super reactivity. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Do you want to take one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Just for practical purpose, once you synthesize it, how stable is your zero valent iron? I mean, if you're using that as a remediation tool, so you synthesize it, and if you're very expanding layer, and so how do you prevent the iron, zero valent iron, from being oxidized?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question, too. Like what we, in this experiment, what we use, we just synthesize and use it. But what we also find that when we freeze dry the sample, we can keep at least the color of the zero valent iron, it's still black. So we haven't tested how much reactivity retained after we freeze dry it. Because all the experiment we did for the X-ray, we freeze dry it, and then we can do the powder analysis.
So you didn't
But
you're exposing that to the oxygen, all right?
Yeah, we all the.
I mean, there's such a, if your assumption is right, you're an individual atom or small aggregate. So they're more active than large chunks of people are, is that right?
Yes.
So that's my question. For practical purpose, once you synthesize it, I mean, is it going to stay as iron zero for a long time and until you can use that for the mediation? Or.
Okay, yeah. The experiment with what we did in the solution phase, they see iron is not very stable. Even when did in the anaerobic chamber, they can be oxidized very, like in a few hours, they can change the color to like the iron 3 color. But so for this experiment, what we did is just use it as we synthesize.
Yeah,
so what I.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So within that time frame, they're going to be oxidized, then you're going to lose the whole property of whatever you're making there.
Yeah, that's right. So that's why we proposed like in situ remediation one way. Another way is like what I just said. When we freeze dry it, when we keep it in a dry form, they can still keep the reactivity. So that maybe can transport to the remediation site.